You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Tuesday, five public service chief executive jobs were filled internally by male candidates. The jobs were not advertised, nor were the interviews conducted amongst the five candidates. The decision has been criticized for creating gender inequality in the job market. Lillian Hanley spoke with the chief executive of the National Council of Women, Jill Greer, to get her perspective on the matter of women working in the public and private sector.
The public sector on the whole has done better in terms of engaging women at senior levels than the private sector has done. And so it's particularly disappointing perhaps that at this time there wasn't that opportunity possible for women to be able to be part of this process. So it's a concern in principle, nothing to do with the people who have been appointed. We believe that women need to be supported and encouraged to take up leadership positions that are critical. This doesn't send the right message really to women across the country, who are often quite hesitant to put their names forward anyway unless they've got everything that's required, whereas on the whole men will generally put their names forward if they've got, you know, only 75%, I think the old statistic used to be.
We'll come back to this public sector issue, but sure. But what you say about the difference between the private sector and the public sector, why is that?
I think because in the past the public sector has, since the beginning of kind of gender analysis when Ministry for Women was first created, and there used to be a series of questions which was used by the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet as well, which went along the lines of, will this policy affect women? Will it have a benefit for women? Have they been consulted in developing it? And you know, a number of other questions like that, which were basic questions to look at what is the impact of certain decisions on women. And I think in a number of government departments there was an expectation. In the Netherlands, for example, there were clear performance indicators. Here in New Zealand, there were certainly expectations that women would be encouraged, mentored, supported in order to be able to move up into leadership positions.
Why do we need women in these jobs? What does it matter to have better representation?
It's interesting. As far back as 2006, we were seeing research that showed that organisations that employed women at the senior level tended to have better financial returns, had lower turnover in staff, had more diverse problem solving and therefore often more successful solutions and plans, and also developed greater trust across the organisations. There's good reasons, which are not only around human rights and equality and everyone having the chance to demonstrate that they were worthy of leadership, regardless of their gender, but also there were good economic reasons, and I've often found when talking to governments in the past that often economic reasons seem to work better than human rights and women's rights reasons, unfortunately.
So how far do we have to go? What do we need to do?
I think it's really important for employers to have a plan and a policy and a process for mentoring and encouraging women. I think it's important that employers, whether public service or otherwise, are flexible, and we are seeing, you know, changes in relation to parental leave, for example. But I think in particular it's recognising that women have huge potential for leadership, for example, that women make highly effective leaders with major benefits for the organisations that they are leading, whether it's at the governance level or whether it's at the senior management level. Interestingly, a Westpac survey last year done by Deloitte indicated that 49% of 500 organisations believe that the reason that they didn't have more women in their senior management was because of a lack of talent in the sector, in the organisation, and in women. And it also goes back, I think, you know, you hear a lot of talk about unconscious bias. Sometimes I think it's quite conscious bias, but often it is unconscious, and that comes about through years and years of gender norms and attitude.
So you're saying that was an actual finding, that there was a lack of talent?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can somebody even measure that?
I guess they just measured the answer to the question. So, you know, what's the reason you don't have more? And I suppose there was a series of choices, and that was probably one of the choices. I just have seen the headlines of it. It's interesting, though, to remind ourselves that 9% of New Zealanders in our survey. We did a gender attitude survey last year in 2017. 9% of 1,261 people believed that boys make better leaders than girls, though interestingly enough, similarly, 19% thought it was more important for men to have positions of power. So that's part of that stereotype gender attitude still coming through. Still a belief from 18% of New Zealanders that it was important for men to be in charge. And yet, and this is the interesting one, 37% believed that we were doing pretty well in terms of gender equality in senior management. But in fact, we're not.
So you're saying that there is a need for a shift in culture also.
Absolutely. It is about social change and culture, and it starts, you know, with little kids, and more New Zealanders now believe it's okay for boys, for example, to play with dolls. Not so many who think it's okay for them to play netball. So we've got to start breaking down those stereotypes from when our children are tiny and having those conversations in our homes and preschools and all the way up to the senior levels of the public and the private sector.
There is a need to start that early, but there's also, it seems, a need to actually make those concrete changes happen in situations such as this, where five men basically did a job swap. Is that correct?
And that's why a lot of people argue in favour, for example, of a quota, particularly in the private sector, that there should be a quota of women, for example, on board. So if we look at the top companies in New Zealand, around 14% of those directors of those companies are women. That's all. And that hasn't shifted, it hasn't improved. And similarly, if we look at the numbers of women in leadership, we see the same. And we see the gender pay gap, which is narrowest at the lowest paid end of the market. Women make up 60% of the lowest two quintiles. When you get to the upper level, that gender pay gap is more like 20%. There's a whole lot of things that are playing into this. One is, have women had the opportunity to have the training, the courses, the investment in all sorts of ways at an equal basis? Secondly, are they seen as appropriate to be appointing? And so often we tend to appoint people who are like us, you know, so that's one of the jokes that's often made, you know, that you tend to look for someone who's very similar to you. So if it's an all-male panel, for example, you would probably expect that they might choose, you know, a man rather than a woman. That's the unconscious bias kind of thing. It's about standing back and just saying, let's put gender aside. Who are the right people for this role? What are the qualifications? How do we make sure that we have given them an equal chance?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.